You're about to hear a message from the team at C3 Church Bethel. We pray that this message will inspire you to live your best life and bring life to the people around you.
Got to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, he's not just speaking into the lives of preachers and leaders. He's speaking into your life as well. And you will walk around from time to time, and just occasionally you'll get some strange thought will drop into your mind and into your heart to be able to, God wants to use you to minister to another, to encourage, to spur on, to lift up, to ease the load a little bit of each other. And a little bit of what I did just then. It's not planned. Now, the Word of God. The Word of God, that's where we are. This month, hopefully every month, I'm hoping. Here it is, the Bible. Hold up your Bible. Hold up your Bible. I'm not looking. Hold up your Bible. I encourage you to bring your Bible to church, because it's this vessel that contains as the Word of God. Contains the Word of God. We can tactilely. Is that a good word? Tactilely. Yes, it's tactile. We can connect with it at a tactile level, and God can speak to us through it at a spiritual level. We can, at a tactile level, we can scribble in it to remind us of what he's saying to us, and then later on, he reminds us what he said to us. That's a good thing. I tell you, it's almost like a diary in a sense for me at times, where I can write stuff and be reminded, and I've told you this before, reminded of what he has said in the past. God loves to remind you of his love for you. God loves to remind you of the things that he has taught you, because we are quick to forget. I think I am anyway, I don't know about you, but I'm quick to forget. And you'll remember a couple of weeks ago, just very briefly, it's 66 books penned by 40 authors over 1,500 years. It's not just any book. It's not just a book that you read and think that was a really good book. Pass it on to someone else, that they might read it and you might forget it. Look, I know these people that read novels, and they might read the same novel three or four times. Yeah, oh, this is a really good book, they'll say. I've read this. This is the fourth time I've read this thing. I don't know whether anybody's read a novel any more than four or five times. If you have, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what's going on there. I read a book once and I put it aside. But this thing here, this book, this thing that contains the Word of God, is authoritative for your life. That there is nothing written within it that is erroneous, and it can be totally depended upon. If you're looking for some form of authority in your life, this is where we head. This is where you go. This is the manual, if you like. It's the manual for life. And so it's not just a book. And in fact, we're told that it's living and active. This is not just a throwaway line to brighten up what might ordinarily be otherwise at times a dull book. It's telling something of a truth about what it is. It is living and it is active. It is living and it is active. If we get nothing more out of today, when this thing sits on your table or wherever it sits at home and you look across there, do not forget to tend it, because anything that's living in your house that you don't tend doesn't exude its life anymore. It doesn't do it for very long, particularly plants. Notice that? You don't tend a plant, it dies. God, the way we tend the living and active Word of God is that we open it up and we read it and we absorb it and we take it on board. And God desires that we would partake in all of the instructions and delights that are contained there within. And then our lives thrive. Like, this is a bag of fertilizer. Let me tell you, for your life, it's a bag of fertilizer. Every time you apply it to your life, it springs some more instruction, correction, encouragement into you. Into you. You're not getting those things. And you suddenly think, I'm not reading the Word, then you'll know you haven't been taking your fertilizer. Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent. What is the thing? Put your hand up if you are the thing. Everybody, put up your hand. Come on, please, put up your hand. Thank you. You are the thing. But it will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing, in you, for which I sent it. God did not send this book, the Word. He didn't send it to prosper nothing. He sent it so that it would prosper you. That's a rehash from a couple of weeks ago. And last week, Pastor Dave Barter came, and he talked about, just made a few scribbles on the back of my Bible. I often do. He said these things. These are things I picked up. You probably picked up six different things. Right. That's what it's about. He said, we're to hear the word. Marilyn hates me doing this. And I'll talk about hearing the word a little bit later on. He said, when you say that, you never do it. But I will, okay? Hearing the word. We are to hear the word. We're to think the word. I don't know about you. I think the word. I think it. I think stuff. And it's the word. It comes up. I think a lot of other stuff too that I hopefully eventually be able to push a lot of that stuff aside and build more of the thinking of the word up in my life. Believe the word. I say this. I say if you read something in this Bible and you don't believe it, you're wrong. You've read it wrong. You've understood it wrong. And it's yet to be revealed to you. Don't believe that God could have arranged for Noah to build an ark and fill it with every kind of animal there was on the earth and that whole account unfold. If you don't believe that, I'm sorry to say, you're wrong. This is how I am extremely, extremely serious on this matter. The Word of God is authoritative and we are to believe it. It is the foundation of our faith. If we begin to unravel portions of the Word and discard those things, then we leave gaps in God's narrative for His church. And as soon as we leave gaps, who do you think is going to fill them? Satan. Did you know that in the world today, there is a whole new religion rising up that we should all be very, very worried about? And it's not Islam. It's self-religion. It's one that takes a little bit from there and a little bit from here, and a little bit from that thing, and a bit more from there. And we have people walking around talking about how they love Jesus and karma will get you. This is deception at its greatest depth. We cannot be a deceived church. If we are to be the epistle or the letter of reconciliation unto the world, then we've got to believe the word. So Dave Bartis, he says, believe the word. Speak the word. Speak it. No use having it and not speaking it. Going back to that, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy, I think it is. He writes, you are an epistle. You are a letter written to the world. We are a letter. The words that are in the letter, so we're like the piece of paper and the words all together, they're written across our heart. They're written in our lives. And then, no good if we put it in an envelope and stick it in our top drawer. We're going to stick the stamp on it and post it so it's read. We speak the word. Speak the word. I love that. And live the word. Yeah. Because we don't want to undermine our testimony, do we not? We live the word. How many times do we hear people say, and they think they're a Christian? Oh, they say they're a Christian. We don't want the world to look at us like that. So I thank you, Dave Barter, for what encouraged me last week. Very good. It's great of him to come all the way over the mountain to see us. I want to go back to this thing, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent. 35 minutes. That's awesome. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. We'll talk about a few areas in which God uses the word to prosper in our life. Romans 10:17, let's go there. You've got time to look it up. because I'm looking it up too. This is the Bible. Romans 10:7, and I'm there. Very interesting. Speak it. Hearing from the Holy Spirit. Encouraging one another. These are some of the things I've talked about this morning. It just so happens I'm reading through Romans at the moment. And each morning, most mornings, I sit there with my cup of coffee and read, and God speaks to me. And I underline. There's underlinings right up to here, actually, in fact. And just on Thursday, I haven't heard from David for a while. Now, David's a great encourager of his brothers in Christ. And David was also a listener. He listens to God, and he's a speaker of the word. And this is what he did. He sent me a text, and it said, amongst other things, he gave me the scripture, Romans 10:14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring forth glad tidings of good things. So he sent me this scripture. Wow, that's very interesting. I got that scripture that morning, I'm pretty certain, before I read. It must have happened overnight because it was very early. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I got to work early. Anyway, I pick up my Bible in my sleepy stupor, as I often do, flip over to the section that I'm to read next, and I use people's business cards as my Bible markers where I'm up to, because it's a good opportunity to pay for people their business card. And right at the moment, because I'd lose it. My current one is Blue Wren. And Blue Wren is David's family business. Yeah, I picked that up. Lord bless Blue Wren. Thank you. Put that aside. Read that. Anyway, and I pull out Blue Wren, put it there. I pull out, this is significant, I pull out Blue Wren and sit it there and look down at the scripture item to read next, and it's Romans 10:14. Now you might just think, wow, what a cool coincidence is that? There's no coincidences when it comes to God. God, I'm going, what are you saying to me, God? I'm not exactly sure yet. I know what it means. I'm not exactly sure yet, but at the very least, I was deeply encouraged to the depths of my core, because I knew there and then that God was in my time of Bible reading before I opened my Bible. And he uses each of us to do that. And I would encourage you, if you want to participate in that kind of activity, seek it out. Be in the Word and go, you know, God, I'm going to read the Word today. And if there's a word for somebody in my circle of influence, people I know, people I love, give it to me. I'm going to send it to them. I'll be diligent. And God goes, yes, need people like this to do this. So anyway, slight deviation. This chapter 10 just talks about how there was a need, there is a need for Israel to understand and to know and to embrace that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for, been written about, the one that's the story has been passed down from over the years. But I get to this verse 17, and I like this verse because I pluck it out of that context. I think this is one of those scriptures you can pluck out of context and use it broadly, and I will. Some scriptures you can't do that. And it says in verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I like to play games with verses. So turn them around and spin them upside down. And I go, okay, what's this word? What's this verse saying? It says, if I don't have the word of God, I can't hear. And if I can't hear, I don't have any faith. This is authoritative. The word of God is authoritative. It's telling us something, a fact. And it's saying that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I think that if we are a people of faith, and praise God we are, because as we give our lives to Christ, we're giving our lives over to an unseen God, in a sense, so that takes faith. We have received that message, I would imagine, by hearing, and the hearing has come, I'm most certain, has come through by the Word of God, because the person that told us discovered this fact most likely in the Word of God. They don't think they discovered anywhere else. So that's just one portion of the faith, but the faith is to grow. You're given a small amount of faith, I think. Some people get bucket loads of faith to begin with. Me, I've got a small amount of faith. And over my walk, over the years, you know, lots of years, 17, 52, you do the math. Over the years, I've read the Word and my faith has built. I was always pretty adamant from the beginning. I'm a bit of a black and white kind of person, that this must be true from the beginning. I just went, this must be true. I just believe everything that's read in it. I don't think I've ever been challenged in that area about whether the Bible is true and authoritative or not. I think I've always known that. But the stuff the Bible says is capable, or what we're capable of in Christ, my faith has built over the years. If you want increased faith, who wants increased faith? We all do. Faith comes by hearing and by the Word of God. This is one of the areas where God shall prosper in you in the thing for which it was sent. He wants your faith to build, because a faithless church is a church without power. The world is looking for people of faith right now. There are people that you know in your world that are constantly searching for something that they have not yet discovered that's outside of the natural, because the natural is letting us down time and time again. Guess what? We, as Christians, we have tapped in to the supernatural. The all-powerful God, and if you're going, ooh, supernatural, well, hello, who's prayed lately? You're talking to God. That's a supernatural thing, because he's not natural in that sense, mortal. When we speak to him, there's a supernatural interaction. Yeah. You know, Luke 24. A few little scriptures here today. Open them up a bit. Show you what's possible. You probably already know what's possible from the Word. And Luke 24, 13. We all know this. You know how much I hate this word, story. It's not a story. It's an account. We all know that this account, most of us know what it's about, the road to Emmaus. But this is just after Jesus has risen from the dead. Some have come away from the empty tomb and said, the tomb is empty. The angels appeared to me and said, he's not here, he is alive. So there was this thing going on after Jesus' death and resurrection and the empty tomb. And here's these two guys, and they're walking along the road to Emmaus. And they're walking along and they're talking. And they're talking about what's going on. What's going on is that Jesus was crucified and the tomb is empty, and the angels came, and there's this thing going on. Everyone knows about it. It's a buzz. Jesus sneaks up on them, in a sense. He just walks up beside them. And remember, this is the risen Jesus. This is a supernatural account of, now this is an account of a supernatural happening. This is fact and authoritative. This truly happened. This is evidence of a risen Christ. Jesus walks up next to these two men and says, hi, men, what are you talking about? And they looked at him dumbfoundedly. Now, it says in the scriptures that their eyes were closed as to his identity. So they're not stupid. They're just, you know, the Jesus you're looking for is not here. It's a bit like that. But he's standing there and said, what are you talking about? Said, are you kidding? We're talking about the same thing everyone's talking about right now, about that guy Jesus. You know, and they go on. In verse 9, and it says, and then they said to him, he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Further down in verse 20, they crucified him. In verse 23, when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. Now, I don't know whether you read a subtext context in here. I read the subcontext is they didn't yet really believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. And that even despite the fact that he died, what had been written about the Son of God, the Messiah, has actually happened. Because what did they say? They said, this Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. He's just a prophet. And Jesus was flabbergasted. He says, pretty harshly, might I say, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now this thing here, this next thing, is key. This is key. The word of God that is sent to the thing, to us, to prosper us, builds our faith, but as importantly, reveals Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The word actually gives us this. If we want to convince people that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, let's get an intimate knowledge of the word of God. Let it dwell within us and let's just speak that thing. Let's not fumble around. Let's speak that thing. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, talking from Ephesians and the sword, we take up the armor of God, the various portions of the armor, and we get to, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the sword of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the power of revelation into the lives of all people. If we take up the Word and we enable the Holy Spirit, who lives within us by God's promise, to wield the sword, nothing can stand. Nothing can stand. You know, we can come up with all sorts of crazy arguments about why you should believe in Jesus Christ, but I tell you, it's all written in here. God, the Holy Spirit, has got this amazing ability to bring out the portions of the Word that will most impact people's lives where they are right at that time. How many times have you heard that a sermon has been preached? And you sit in that sermon and you think, that was just like the dullest sermon I've ever sat through. And then 10 people get up, maybe not 10, half a dozen people get up and give their lives to Christ. Supernatural. This is a really important thing. Verse 27. And this is Jesus. Jesus went, do you have to do all this again? I've lived with the apostles, the disciples, and now there's other disciples and people hanging around me. They've heard me teach over and over again. Okay. He said, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I don't know if you get that. Jesus could have just sat there and told a whole new version of the story. Same facts, different, mix it up. Like, you know, we tend to do that, don't we? When somebody doesn't understand it, say, okay, well, let me put it this way, don't we? Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't say, let me put it this way. He says, this is the authoritative word of God. He didn't say that, but he acted it out. He was living out his belief that this is the authoritative word of God. And he expounded, which means tore it apart, and it showed it to them, all the scriptures of the things concerning himself. Now, get this. They listened to him, and they still liked him, and thought he was pretty cool. And I'll read this. It says, then they drew near to the village, and when they were going, he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And when he went in and stayed with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Now this is like a light bulb moment, because before then he had closed their eyes to his identity, and then he turned the light switch, broke the bread, and they recognized him. but they saw a different Jesus. Before their eyes were closed to him walking down the road, they knew Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet. When he broke the bread and their eyes were open, like that, they saw him in a different light. And he vanished from their sight, as only Jesus can. Instantaneous. Break the bread, eyes pop open. They go, wow, wow. He's not just a prophet. How do we miss that? He says, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with him saying that he's just a prophet. No, he didn't say that. He said, the Lord is risen indeed and he's appeared to Simon. They had revelation. How did they have revelation? They had revelation by the expounding of the word of God, or the speaking of the word of God into their lives. Yes, by Jesus. Yes, by Jesus. And you might think, well, that's all good and well for them, but we aren't Jesus. Well, I've got news for you. You are the bride of Christ. You are the body of Christ. And what's more is Jesus didn't leave you alone. He sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within you. So when you speak the word of God, you speak as you have the authority, not as if Christ, but as you have the authority of Christ. And all of these things converge. These things converge. The authoritative word of God, the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and eyes opening. It's this fire. I like this thing. It says, did not our hearts burn within us? Did not our hearts burn within us? You know, sometimes, and I wouldn't say it happens all the time, but sometimes I read the Word of God and it's like, and I say it's like, it is. My heart burns within me and all of a sudden I go a little bit crazy because, sounds strange, isn't it? But I start flipping through my Bible and looking for, that's the same as that over there. And then it points to this thing over here. And I'm like, I get excited. You know, what started out as a 10-minute interlude around my 4 o'clock cup of coffee in the morning could turn into, if I wasn't going to work, could turn into an hour. Otherwise, I'll be late at work. I can't do that. But it has happened, like just the other day. It did happen. It went from what was going to be a 10-minute time, went into that was actually Friday, an hour. Did not my heart burn within me? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Jeremiah 23:29, over in the Old Testament. Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's not the scripture. Just this word of God, I wish I loved it more. 23:29. Scriptures. Glad I could put it in. It says, God says, I like when God speaks the word. It's strange, isn't it? Because God is Jesus and Jesus is the word. He's the logos, the full expression, the divine expression of God. I like it when God speaks the word. It's a lot of time, it's third person narrative. It's fully inspired. But occasionally we have actually God saying something. He goes, he says, and I think this is how he says it. He says, probably better than this. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord. Is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? I don't know what you get from that. But his word is like a fire. Fire. What comes to my mind with fire is we're talking, oftentimes when we're talking through the scriptures, we're talking about a refining fire. We're talking about a consuming fire. Gladly for us, we are not consumed. God is still a consuming fire. He declares himself to be. But he says, is not my word like fire? And the reason that my word is like a fire to you is because what it's trying to do and what it will achieve, because it says in the scriptures, it will achieve what I sent it for the thing. It won't return to me void. So it's going to come and it's going to do this thing, the refining work of the word of God. You can imagine the harvesting that takes place, and we take the grain kernel, the beautiful grain kernel that we turn into whatever we turn it into and eat it, but there's the chaff that's left over. We're told that the fire burns the chaff from our life. You know, we don't want chaff in our life. The chaff is the stuff that causes us to trip up, to fail, to not trust in God, to succumb to the trials and temptations that are many and often. It's the chaff. The word of God has the ability to burn the chaff out of our life. It's the refining fire that takes the raw iron or the raw silver ore and gets rid of all the, I think it's the word is dross, gets rid of that stuff that nobody likes. It's ugly. If, you know, if somebody were to give you a cup of dross, you'd be thinking, what are you giving me this for? Give me the silver instead. God doesn't want you to walk around with dross in your life. God doesn't want you to present yourself to the world as chaffy people. So my word is like a fire. I love this thing most. I love that. I love this. And like a hammer that breaks the rock to pieces. And we go, the rock. You know, we just sit there with that scripture and we read it and we think the rock, God's word breaks like a hammer, it breaks the rock to pieces. Too hard. Therefore, behold, I'm again. No, there's something contained within this. It's like a hammer that breaks the rock to pieces. That rock, that word, is the word spelt like this, C-E-L-A. Pronounced like this, Selah. Not the Selah that we see in the Psalms, but it's talking about a rock. But it's this specific rock. And the specific rock that Selah is talking about is the lofty rock. It's a lofty rock. It's lofty. It's not only is it lofty, just get your imagination going. When I read this, my imagination, I just imagined Scotland. And I imagined this mountainous, craggy rock. And that's what it's another interpretation of it. It's a craggy rock. Nobody wants to live on the craggy rock, do they? It's like cold and blasted and it's a lofty rock, the craggy rock. This rock, it's a fortress. Don't think it's a fortress of good. Think it's a fortress of evil. It's a stronghold. Are we starting to get the picture here? Is not my word like a hammer? It breaks the lofty, craggy rock, which is a fortress and stronghold in your life, to pieces. To pieces. That's what... You're getting this. 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 5. I'm not going to open that because I've written here for the sake of time. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What is it? What pulls down strongholds? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing. Now, another interpretation of arguments in King James is casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When we are not in the Word, let me tell you what rises up in your life. Imaginations. Arguments that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. You know, I'm not saying this in some kind of evil and sinister way that you've suddenly become really evil and you stand against God, but If you don't have the truth living within you, refreshed daily, revealed as a living and active source, then what you do is you replace it with your own imagination. And things start to happen. You think, I am doomed. I am doomed. This is terrible. I can't believe this is happening to me. You know, just on Thursday, I work in a call center, 000 call center, and part of my supervisory duties is to review every 000 call that comes through the center. We do 2,000 000 calls a day. And I was between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. And what started to occur to me was that nearly every call was a suicide call, a person calling out for help, or somebody seeing someone calling out for help. Maybe, I don't know, I guessed. At the end of it, I went, wow, I cannot believe this. It's maybe it's 50, maybe it was 100 people in those 4 hours or whatever it was were going to suicide or wanted to or thinking about it. What they did, what they have done, or maybe they don't have the tools, but they've permitted the circumstances of their lives to establish itself firmly and strongly in their mind as authority. You know what? That can happen to us too. If we don't have the Word of God in our lives and we aren't continually feeding on it, we will find ourselves in times of difficulty that we find difficult to get out of. My Word is like a hammer that breaks the rocks to pieces. Breaks the rocks to pieces. What are the rocks? The strongholds, the craggy rock, the lofty things, the imaginations. You know, interestingly, did you know that sin entered the world through an imagination? Everybody's going, oh, now he's speaking heresy. Now he's speaking heresy. Imagination that followed was that followed temptation. Because oftentimes temptation comes first and then imagination follows. And we read in Genesis 3, you don't have to open there, Genesis 3, and we know the account. This is authority. This is true. This actually happened. The serpent. It was a serpent. I believe this. It was a serpent. It came along. Satan was the serpent. And he said, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Temptation. Temptations entered in. Even only being away from the Lord for a short time. My understanding, God hid in the afternoon, cool of the afternoon, and walked with them. No, I don't know. It might have been 24 hours. A short time for her. And she had a temptation in her mind. And it's ticking over. Then she walks along, strolls along, slowly finds herself in the center of the garden. Don't know how that happened. Right up next to the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And she looked at it, and get this, and she saw that the tree was good for food. Now, that is not an imagination. You would have no idea whether it's good for food or not. It was an imagination. And from the imagination, she fed the imagination by action, and we know what happened after that. Pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. We have imaginations, let me tell you. If you want to know, it says here, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What are the weapons of our warfare? Do we know? Do we know? Ephesians, turn there, 6:10-17. In the Bible, you'll find it. 6:10-17. Right? Going, wow, somebody's moved the scripture. It says the weapons of our warfare. I'm sorry. Had a slight slip up there. So it says, Paul goes on, he says, so we don't wrestle against flesh and blood and against the principalities and against the powers and rulers of the darkness of this age against spiritual against spiritual hosts of wickedness even in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you're able to stand. And those pieces of armor were the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And going back to that scripture again in 2 Corinthians, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty for pulling down strongholds and lots of other things. You want to be victorious in life? Victorious in life. If you want to be victorious in life, walk with Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Number one, give your life to Jesus. If you've not given your life to Jesus yet, I'd like to talk to you after church. We can show you how. It's simple. If you want to live a victorious life over the circumstances that come up, I'm not saying that circumstances won't come up, because they will, and they do. But if you want to be victorious in those circumstances, give your life to Jesus and then get into the Word. Get into the Word. Is not my Word like a fire? Is it not like a hammer that breaks the rocks to pieces? Let me tell you, it's the rocks that undo you most. It's those rocks that undo you most. Strongholds. The lofty thoughts. God opposes the lofty. Like the lofty. People become lofty in their thinking and their speaking. But the Word of God brings us down to, not earth, but down to heaven. Into heaven.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to connect personally if you're in town. We meet on Sundays at 217 Howick Street for a 10:30 service. Or visit our website, c3churchbathurst.org.